Today's readings are very good, but I felt led to take them on board, but to actually summarise the whole book of Colossians, because it was a newish church and it was growing, and we hopefully will start to grow again. So I thought it's a very compact way of taking on board what Paul was saying, so please bear with me. I mean, all four chapters were given with such grace and encouragement. And it says all that is needed to become a church that's alive and growing. And it also makes us aware of the spiritual battles that often those who love and seek to bring Jesus to others might face. And in a world where people goes on and on with dispiriting news and has lost its way regarding truth and values, it's a joy to take a whistle-stop look at the book of Colossians. Having reread it, I'm struck by the way that Paul explains so well the importance of having Christ within us so that his Holy Spirit can equip and guide us to be Christ to those who do not know Jesus. It's especially relevant today as the membership are to vote on whether or not to send Danielle as a minister in training at Bristol College. Tom Wright, the theologian, said in chapter 1 that Paul had never visited the church, but his great friend Epaphras was one of the founders in Colossae and had written to Paul expressing some concerns. He opens with, "May grace and peace envelop you." I don't know about you, but that sounds like a heavenly hug, and we all need them from time to time. And he goes on to encourage them about how much they've been praying for the faith they had shown from hearing the word of truth and their subsequent love and faith in proclaiming the gospel to others. Next, he goes on to pray that the knowledge and insight that they gain can only come from God. He cites that Jesus was the exact image of the invisible God and the firstborn of creation. Through him, everything was made, both seen and unseen. And ultimately, for all of us, it is Jesus who has the dominion over all creation, as well as spiritual powers and authorities that would seek to stop us and others coming to Jesus. He reminds us that Jesus is the head of the church, and that through him being the first to be reborn from the dead after his death on the cross, all of us who choose Jesus as Lord are no longer at odds with God, but are seen as blameless, holy and free from imperfection. Therefore, we are now presentable to God because of Jesus' death and resurrection. He champions Jesus as the mystery of the ages, hidden for generations and now being revealed to be to the nations through the holy ones, the disciples, made holy by baptism and the indwelling of his Holy Spirit in all who believe and trust in him. I can always rattle off Jesus' final commission. Go therefore to all the nations, teaching them everything in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and baptize them, and I will be with you always. And that must have seemed a big challenge to them when they didn't feel that they were up to the job. But his Holy Spirit did equip them. And as a congregation, we have amongst us Danielle, who is answering her call to bring others to Christ Jesus. And as a congregation, our faith and trust in God to do immeasurably more than we think is possible through us is being tested. But our prayers and responses need to be guided by insight from God alone, as he knows the plans he has for every one of us and for his congregation here. So in chapter 2, he's calling the believers in Colossae to remain steadfast in their faith. That's because there was growing heresy, And there were three main areas of discontent. Firstly, the Greek philosophy that had been around for a couple of centuries, and they worshipped multiple gods before the Roman Empire, currently persecuting the early church. But they had bits of the Greek in them as well. There was paganism, and we see that around us, don't we? With its superstition, its belief in curses, and also that they could win over the forces behind their beliefs by offering things to them. Thirdly, the Gnostics. Now, these believers worshipped higher beings of the spiritual realm, but access to them required people to have special knowledge. They were impressed with Jesus, but they didn't actually believe in his resurrection. We see that today with people going to spiritualists and fortune tellers. Sadly, many go and they trust them more than Jesus, despite, as we know, Jesus' warnings not to consult with them. Paul called them people who fabricated religion. And these were often encouraging bodily abuse, self-humiliation, and a life bound by rules and regulations that, as we know, Jesus defeated all that on the cross. Paul knew only too well that the spirit of darkness was the opponent of Jesus, and he went on to explain the importance and protection that baptism, being washed clean of the old life and entering into a new life out of the waters, being shaped by the Holy Spirit and Christ. About 3 months ago, God gave me an earworm, like he does, and it just doesn't turn off. And it was, Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Help my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone. Crystal clear, and mine's not too clear this week from some family upheavals, but still being finely honed. Life of Jesus shining through, bringing glory back to you. And I believe he wants to do that again through us here. Paul promotes a holy way of life, encouraging us to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. And these fruits of the Spirit are in short supply by those in positions of worldly power. Good intentions that they may have are thwarted quite often by things that go on, or secretly by the money institutions, bankrolling a lot of governments, a lot of institutions who pull invisible strings and operate with a degree of secrecy. And I believe it's because of that God wants little people like us to make a change. We can't expect it to come from governments. It's got to come through us. And if God's plans for Warmer Baptist Church is Danielle to become our minister in training, we need to be prepared to become a growing church. It's not all about money. It's about us. Us as individuals. We need to spend time in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to build us up, to shape us, and to grow our hearts to welcome those he will call to follow him. And finally, perhaps the book of Colossians will be our go-to along the road.